welcome to the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. Thanks for listening to our service today.
When things are still and so you knew that he cared for you.
Invite you to open up your copy of the Word of God with me today to the New Testament book of Romans, Romans chapter 6. To be more specific, we will be looking at the first 14 verses for our scripture reading this morning. Romans chapter 6, the first 14 verses. As I stated last Sunday morning, we concluded finding satisfaction in life and our study in the book of Ecclesiastes. This morning we are moving on to a new study. And this new sermon series is one that I have been looking forward to for quite a while. Enough that I had to sit down and try to chop off certain parts of my message this morning because of the length. To try to give you an introduction to a topic like sanctification is hard to do. And so I understand this morning, as I come to the pulpit, that this sermon may seem like an information overload. However, the Word of God is perfect for every work in our lives. And regardless of whatever it is that we get through this morning and all of the information, I want you to grasp this. God's goal for our lives as Christians is sanctification. Amen? And I've entitled this sermon series that we're going to go through, entitled Sanctification, Striving for Christ-likeness. Sanctification, striving for Christ's likeness. And my goal this morning is to introduce you to the subject of sanctification and to focus on how you and I can become more Christ-like in our attitudes, in our actions, and in our words. You should be in Romans chapter 6 by now. Would you look with me at verse 1 and down to verse 14? I'm going to begin reading this morning in verse 1. I would invite you to join me in standing, if you're able, as we publicly honor the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 14. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul writes and says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And we say, no. Paul says, certainly not. "How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives, he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You may be seated. When you think about sanctification, I'm not sure what the first thing is that comes to your mind when you think sanctification. When I think of the Christian, I think of sanctification. I think of what it means to, if you will, get right with God, get serious about God, to live with God. The first thing that comes to my mind is an old-fashioned altar call, right? Where a preacher or a pastor, he gives an invitation, he calls upon you to respond to the Word of God, and you sense the Holy Spirit working in your heart and life, and you know there's that area of sin in your life, that habitual sin that you repeat over and over and over and over again, and the Holy Spirit says it's time to deal with it. And the invitation's given, and whatever the song may be, whether it's Just As I Am, or Higher Ground, or whatever that hymn may be is sung, and you sense the pulling of the Holy Spirit, the convicting work in your life, and you walk the aisle and you come down to the front to make a decision. And you say on that particular time, I want to have victory over sin, and you confess it to the Lord. And you make that decision and you get up and you go back to your pew and the service dismisses and you go on your way. And you feel great, don't you? You've surrendered it to the Lord. You've given it up. Monday comes around. The day after you made that decision. Monday comes around, or perhaps it's Tuesday, and you find yourself in the same situation again that you were on Saturday before you made that decision. You're back in the habitual sin. You're back to that feeling. Where was the victory I felt when I made that decision? Where was that sanctifying work? I gave it to the Lord and I asked Him to help me with it. What is He doing about it? Folks, a lot of times that's what we do when it comes to sanctification. We make a decision and we say, all right, I surrender it to the Lord, and we turn it over to Him. And then what happens? We do nothing else about our Christian lives. We go back to the same routines and we fall into the same sinful pattern again. And we go, how in the world am I ever supposed to be like Christ? Amen? Have you been there? Sanctification and ultimately being Christ-like. Many Christians today, they've given up on the idea of living a truly victorious Christian life over sin. You ever get discouraged with a battle with sin? I should ask, are we sinners? So we struggle with sin, amen? And Paul writes in verse 1, shall we continue in sin that God's grace can abound? And Paul says, no. Jesus Christ died to save us out of that sin. He's called us, in the text we just read, called us to walk in newness of life. Called to walk in sanctification. Called us to be Christ-like. I've read the New Testament, I've read the Old Testament, and you know what? There is not one verse of Scripture that ever says Christ sinned. If you and I are to be Christ-like, then folks, we need to be striving to sin less. Amen? Many people feel they have a besetting sin that's got you in a headlock. You just can't get free of it. Whatever it may be. Perhaps it's pride. Perhaps it's something that you're doing. Perhaps, but there's that sin that you just can't seem to get rid of. And maybe there's more than one, and you've tried to get victory, and you failed, and you probably failed numerous times. Can I tell you something this morning? There is hope over sin in Jesus Christ. Amen? Why would the Word of God tell us that we are to be Christ-like if it's not possible? Why would He tell us to have victory over sin, to crucify sin, if that's not a possibility? lot of times when we talk about sanctification, there's hesitancy because people have misconceptions. Before I get into this passage this morning, I want you to understand some misconceptions we have about sanctification. Number one is this. We mistakenly think it means sinless. Sanctification, people have it in their minds that sanctification is synonymous with sinless. And folks, here's the thing. I'm your pastor. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, but you know what? I'm still a sinner. And God is working His sanctifying process in my life, but it doesn't mean I'm sinless. We've given up on the idea, and we say this all the time, I'll never be perfect, so why try? Right? Have you been there? I'll never be perfect. That's why I gave up the piano as a 7-year-old kid. I'm never going to be perfect at this, so I gave up. But we do that a lot with our Christian lives. I'm never going to be perfectly sinless, so we give up. But sanctified doesn't mean sinless. We won't attain to that until we're in heaven. And God removes our sin nature entirely. If you're taking notes this morning, you might want to jot this down. Real sanctification isn't being sinless, but really learning to sin less. Real sanctification isn't being sinlessly perfect. What it means is that we're learning to sin less by God's power. That's a misconception. Number two is this. We've mistakenly think that it's the end of the good life. That if I want to really live Christ-like, if I want to live a sanctified life, my life is going to be so boring, so mundane, so Christianized, whatever word you want to say, I'm not going to have any fun. God's will for my life is it's dull. But read the instructions and you hear of things like joy and love and peace. And I want you to know that there is real joy, true love, and actual peace that comes from striving towards sanctification, towards being Christ-like. God made us and He knows what is best for us. He wants what is best for us. He's not trying to ruin our fun. He wants to enhance it. That's why He said, "Be holy as I am holy." It doesn't make life less fun. It makes life more meaningful. With that, let's look forward in prayer as we begin our study this morning. Father, would you quiet our hearts before you? Father, as I deal with this subject this morning of sanctification, we begin to introduce this. Father, would you work in my own heart, in my own life, that you would help me to be more Christ-like in the things that I say, in my thoughts, in my actions. Father, that I can live out what I preach. That I can set an example for this flock of God that you have entrusted to me as the under-shepherd. Father, for each and every one that is here today, as we think about sanctification, we think about what it means. Father, may you help us to understand that God did not save us so we could live for ourselves. He saved us so we could strive for Christ's likeness. Father, bless our time in your word. Hide me up behind the cross this morning. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Introduction to sanctification. This past year in the month of February or January, I forget which now, it was the end of January, the beginning of February, my wife decided that she was going to get me a present just out of the blue. And I came home from my office one day and she said, "Good, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. We're going to be going to pick up your present from her folks." And lo and behold, of all things, she decided to get me my absolute favorite dog, a dachshund. And I have a little bitty miniature dachshund by the name of Houston. Now, Houston is still in that puppy phase, so he doesn't understand sometimes what obedience means. And I'm using this illustration because it fits well with a lot of believers. Houston is one of those dogs that just seems to need a bath all the time. You ever had a dog like that? And you give him a bath, You get them in the tub, you soap them all up, you rinse them all down, you get them all clean, they're all dried, and you put them back in their kennel, and it comes time that they need to go outside. And you have what happened the last couple days. We've had just these soaker rains. And you'll let him out to go outside, and next thing you know, he goes from the front yard to the backyard. And the next time you see the dog, he's standing outside of the door, covered from head to toe in water, and he's as muddy as can be. And he acts like nothing happened, right? He sits there at the door, and the tail's wagging, and the ears are going, you know, he's just happy. I didn't get into any trouble, right? I'm still as perfect as I was when I went outside. And you're standing there inside the house and going, oh brother, here we go again. Time for another bath. Folks, can I tell you that oftentimes that's much like us when we mess around with sin in our Christian lives? God sanctified you. He washed you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And what do we often do? We roll around in the sin, in the things that Christ Jesus shed his blood to save us from. And rather than striving to remain sanctified, rather than striving to build upon what Christ has already done, striving to follow his example, we want to get as close to sin as we can. What is holiness this morning? A common definition of holiness is being separate or being set apart, if you will. God is holy in that he's set apart from everything. He is set apart from everything that's not God. And along with that, God's people must be holy. That is to be set apart from sin. If you're living in sin this morning, can I tell you something? That's not God's desire for you. Whether you're unsaved or whether you're saved, God's desire, if you're unsaved, is to save you from that sin. If you are saved, his desire for your life is that you let sin no longer have the reign over your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Freedom from sin. Set apart. My mother, every year as a kid, would have this time that would come around in the spring. The weather would turn nice. It would be getting close to the summertime, and she would say those dreaded words, "It's time for family pictures." You ever been there? I hate pictures. I hated them as a kid because what that meant is 2 weeks up until the pictures actually took place, you couldn't go outside, you couldn't go have fun, you were set apart for mother's intended picture usage. You could not go outside. And most of all, you didn't do anything that would cause any kind of injury that would cause you to get a bruise, a scrape, or a scratch. You were set apart till those pictures were done. You and I, as God's chosen people, we are set apart for him. Not set apart for ourselves. Christ didn't save us so we could live for ourselves, live any longer in the flesh. He set us apart so we could live for him, to live unto him. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon had to say about sanctification. He said this, "If God gives you the grace to make you believe, that is to believe in what Jesus Christ has done, he will give you the grace to live a holy life afterward." And we ought to say what? Amen. If he's given us enough grace to believe, he'll give us enough grace to live a sanctified Christ-likeness life after that. I want to give you this morning a working definition of sanctification. A working definition of sanctification. Many theologians would sharply distinguish this morning justification from that of sanctification. Justified is, that is, you are made right in legal standing before God. If you did not know that. Sanctification is a little different. Justification is the instantaneous, completed act whereby God declares the sinner to be righteous. That is, not guilty. And what is sanctification? Sanctification is this. The progressive, incomplete, lifelong maturing process in which a Christian is gradually made holy. It's the progressive, incomplete, lifelong maturing process in which a Christian is gradually made more holy. That's what sanctification is. It's a process. And a lot of times when we talk sanctification, we need to talk about it in its full sense. There are three tenses that the Greek New Testament uses in the New Testament letters to describe sanctification. There's a past sanctification. That is a very definitive or a positional sanctification that occurs when God sets his people apart for himself at the moment that you become a Christian. When God chose to save you, you were sanctified, you were set apart for him. Amen? That happened in the past. What about the present? Progressive sanctification is what many Christians refer to today as sanctification. If you need explanation, look back up at the working definition I gave you. That's present sanctification. That is what's supposed to be going on right now in our lives as believers. But there's also a future sanctification, and we might even say that sometimes it corresponds with that of glorification. This happens when God sets his people apart from sin's presence and possibility. Someday, aren't you looking for that day where it will not be possible to sin anymore in heaven? Aren't you looking forward to that day when God's sanctifying work is complete in your life? Evidently, nobody's looking forward to that day. You're not looking forward to that. I am. I'm looking forward to that day, but you know what? While I'm here on earth, I'm supposed to be progressing, striving after Christ's likeness. A Christian can say, I am sanctified, past tense. They can say, I am being sanctified, present tense. And they can say, someday I'm going to be, I will be, ultimately sanctified. Listen to this. Go with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 this morning. I want to point out one verse. Galatians chapter 4. I want you to notice verse 19 for me, if you will. Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, and he writes these words in verse 19. My little children, from whom I labor in birth again until, and this is the phrase I want you to underline in your Bible if it's not already underlined. This is the key phrase upon which I'm going to build our entire sermon series on sanctification, and that is this: until Christ is formed in you. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you look like Christ? How many of you, Scripture says, are measured to the fullness of the stature of Christ? Anyone? I'm not there. And until I get to that point, I need to be working. And Paul encouraged the believers in Galatia that he's writing to. He says, I'm going to labor, I'm going to work with you until we all are formed into the image of Jesus Christ. You're probably sitting there this morning and you say, I don't believe this, Pastor. I don't really believe at all that God says I need to be and live a sanctified, holy life. I don't believe that. God hasn't called me to be sanctified or holy, has he? I can live how I want, when I want, where I want. I can do what I want. The Christian life, as long as I'm saved, there's no requirements for me, amen? Right? There's no requirements. I don't have to do another thing. God doesn't expect anything out of me. I have insurance for the next life, right? Folks, that's the lie a lot of believers are buying into today. It's called easy believism. You get saved and you have nothing else that you have to do for God for the rest of your life. And can I tell you something? It shows up in churches today because there's a lack of people serving. There's a lack of people giving. There's a lack of people wanting to do anything for the cause of Jesus Christ. Why? because they're not striving towards sanctification. They're not. They don't care. They don't think they need to. Listen to some of these verses this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16. It says this: just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Let me ask you, on the basis of that verse, has God called you to holiness? Oh, okay. One verse. So if I can ignore one verse in Scripture, I'm good. Listen to this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's the very next word? Holy. And pleasing to God. Oh, so there's two verses in Scripture now. Let's keep going. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1, it says this: therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What are we to be perfecting? Holiness. Where does holiness come from? Whose holiness are we talking about? God's holiness, perfected in us so we look like Christ. We'll come back to this passage at a later date, but 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7, this is a verse you need to underline in your Bible. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to live a holy, set apart, sanctified, Christ-like life. Amen? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, it says this: make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. J.C. Ryle wrote a book on holiness. And in that book, this is his quote. He said, sanctification is this: again, a thing that depends greatly upon a diligent use of scriptural means. When I speak of means, I have in view Bible reading. Are you reading your Bible on a regular basis? You should if you're striving towards sanctification. He goes on. He says, private prayer. Are you spending time in prayer with God? That's part of sanctification. He goes on. He says, regular attendance on public worship. I don't want to ask you this morning, how's your attendance record? Because your attendance shows where you're at in the sanctifying work of God in your life. He goes on. He says, a regular hearing of God's word. Are you hearing the word of God on a regular basis? Are you reading it? Are you having devotions? Are you listening to it as it's preached? He also says this: it's the regular reception of the Lord's Supper. Let me ask you, when was the last time you partook of communion? Communion is a time of examining oneself. Those are all ways in which God works a sanctifying work in your life. J.C. Ryle said this at the end of his quote: I lay it down as a simple matter of fact that no one who is careless about such things must ever expect to make much progress in sanctification. If you don't read your Bible, if you don't pray, if you don't attend church on a regular basis, if you don't hear the word of God as it's preached, and you don't partake of the Lord's Supper, can I tell you something? You're not going to progress in sanctification at all. Because God uses all of those things to accomplish His purpose in your life. Amen? Is God's word powerful? Amen. Is prayer powerful? Amen. Is going to church powerful? There's a challenge right there for you. I want to share with you this morning the two keys to the process of sanctification, very quickly in the time that we have. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul writes this. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. In the life in which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. Let me ask you this morning, are you living for you or are you living for Christ? How you answer that question determines where you're at in sanctification. I want you to go with me to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to focus our time this morning as we close on Ephesians chapter 5. And I want you to look at verse 18. The process of sanctification. These two keys, the process of sanctification. This is the groundwork for our entire study on sanctification. In fact, if you will, if there was any message I wanted you to get about sanctification, it's right here. Because this is the key to living the Christian life. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 18. And this is not the verse you're thinking of this morning when you think sanctification. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. It says this, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation." That's not the part of the verse I want you to focus on. Look at the latter part of the verse. It says this, "But be filled with the Spirit." James chapter 4 and verse 7 alludes to the same thing. Be filled with the Spirit. The meaning of the word filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It has the idea of being continually filled. You ever been somewhere and had somebody get you a cup of coffee and they ask you, do you want it refilled? And you said, just keep on filling it, right? Folks, you and I ought to be overflowing, overfilled, if you will, with the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? Like a good cup of coffee that's ready to overflow. Constantly filled. Continually filled. But notice what it says. It says, the meaning with the Spirit. That is, with or by the Spirit. We are to be filled with or by the Spirit. What is going to make you Christ-like this morning? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 is where we're at. And I want to explain this to you from the Greek New Testament. This is not original with me. This is borrowed from a friend. But this is a Greek grammatical study, illustrated and explained between the difference of how you interpret the means of the Holy Spirit that it says here, being filled with the Holy Spirit. How you interpret that makes a great difference, because in the Greek there are different ways that you can interpret. You can interpret it as a dative of content or a dative of means. And I want to illustrate for you, because you're not Greek scholars this morning, what the difference is in ways that you would understand. Content. We'll start there this morning. If this is a dative of content, that is that we are to be filled, if you will, with the content of the Spirit, this is how that would look. It'd be like filling a pool with water. Fill it up. It would be like filling a tire, like a car tire, with air. Or to fill one's stomach with food or liquid. Or perhaps, maybe even, and we don't like this, to fill a tooth cavity with composite. You like cavities? No, I don't either. But it's that idea. That would be to fill it with content. That's not what Paul meant. What he meant was this. A dative of means, or by the means of. If I was to ask you this morning to go out, and I had a pool out in the churchyard, and I said, I want you to go fill that pool up with hose. And do it before I get back, and I run in there and I come back. Some of you, I would come back, and the pool would be full of every hose that we have in the church. Every hose would be in that pool, right? Was that what I meant? No. No, what does it mean? I meant for you to fill the pool up by means of a hose. Not a bucket, not a cup, by the means of a hose. Look at this. To fill by the means of is the idea of filling a pool with a hose, or to fill a tire with an air compressor hose, or to fill one's stomach with eating and drinking utensils, forks, knives, cups, that type of idea. Or to fill a tooth cavity with dental tools by the means of. Does that make sense? We are to be being filled with Christ by the means of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul meant. We're to be filled. We need to move on very quickly to the back of your outline. It says, sanctification manifests submission. Sanctification manifests submission. It begins with submission and it manifests with submission. What do you mean by that? Can I tell you something about God? If you want to live for Him, if you want to have a Christ-like sanctified life, can I tell you something? You have to not only be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you have to be submissive to what He wants in your life. Let me ask you, do you want the things that God wants? Is His mission, if you will, your mission this morning? If I could say it this way, sanctification is saying yes to the leading of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in your life. When God's Word tells you to do something, do it. Don't say no. Don't act like it's not there. Submit to it. Ephesians 5:18, it says, be filled. And I want you to look at that phrase for just a moment. There are a number of different ways that you can understand this verb phrase. A simple statement of fact or reality that is viewed as occurring in actual time. That is, right now, are you being filled with the Holy Spirit? Not does the Holy Spirit indwell you. I'm asking, are you being filled continually right now by means of the Holy Spirit in your Christian life? Matthew Henry said this, to walk with God is to set God always before us, to act as those that are always under His eye. It is to live a life of communion with God, both in ordinances and in providences. It is to make God's word our rule and His glory our end in everything that we do. The verb filled represents the subject as being the recipient of the action. That is this. The Holy Spirit is making you more and more like Christ. Amen? And He does it every day. And as we submit to His convicting work in our lives, we become more and more like Christ. I hope by the grace of God that I'm more Christ-like today than I was yesterday. But you know what it takes? Submission to the Spirit's leading in my life. I have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's the one making me like Christ, not me. The best of the best Josh Farrell there ever will be is a sinner. But if the Holy Spirit is at work in the life of Josh Farrell, He's the one that's going to make me Christ-like. It's also a command of the hearer to perform a certain action by the order or authority of one commanding. Here's what I want to share with you this morning, and we'll close with this. The subjects of spirit filling. God's desire is for every single believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Every believer. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 22 through 23 is this. And He put all things under His feet, and He gave Him to be the head over all things, the church, which is His body and the fullness of Him who fills all in all. God's desire is to fill His people with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? To make them Christ-like. I wonder, do you want to be Christ-like? The substance of the Holy Spirit's filling. We're going to come back to these later on in our sermon series, but the goals of the Spirit's filling. What is the goal of the Holy Spirit in making you Christ-like? Here are some things. Number one, He wants to make you like Christ. That is Christ-likeness. The Holy Spirit's desire is to make you like Christ. Not only that, but godliness.
We hope you enjoyed the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday services, we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. for all ages, morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. You can also join us Wednesday evenings for prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m.